Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A little bit more of the revelation into the life of Mark Rossman. I'm not a big game guy, like board games and things like that. Don't care for them so much. Just never have. Scrabble's probably the worst for me. If you've noticed in terms of my sermons and my language usage, I really, really like those one and two syllable words. So I never score many points, and I have these letters before me, and I'm trying to figure out something large, something grandiose, something that has a lot of points to it that I can use a Q and an X in at the same time, and I can never quite come up with those. But the one board game I do play, I haven't played for a while, but I played probably more than any other, is chess. I like chess because it's always different. And there's always a different strategy to it, and it's your movements are based upon the movements of the other person. You know, chess is a curious game because if you think about it, there are so many different levels of what takes place with the game. It's not only about strategy and movement, but it's also about exactly the piece that you happen to move. Because most pieces are limited in terms of their movement one way or the other, in terms of either distance or direction. And the ultimate goal of chess is to capture the king. Not to take the king, but to capture the king, because that ends the game. Chess is really based on, my understanding of at least, is medieval warfare. That you have the different people who represent the different pieces that represent the different people in warfare. And the one thing that was clear in terms of the rules of ancient warfare was the fact that kings could not be engaged. They can't be fired upon unless it was by another king. That was supposed to be the rules of it. Kings fought kings. You could capture a king, but you could not kill a king. But that is one of the few things that we have that really tie us to understanding kingship. We have books, we have movies, we have games like chess or Stratego, I suppose, that give us some insight in terms of what a king is about, but we really don't have an understanding of that in our society. You know, the understanding we have is based on history. It's not based on how we live our lives, it's not based on what we've seen, but it's based on what we've read and what we've learned and what we've been told has been factual. It's a lot like religion. There's a lot of things in our religion that are old, almost out of date, not keeping with our modern, sleek, fast-moving society where we're so much smarter than those people of the Middle Ages. And so we look at different things and we might tend to dismiss them of being old or out of date. Christ the King Sunday. How are we supposed to make sense of that? You know, it's got to be one of these old ancient things that have been around for a long time, back in those days of Luther when they did have kings and they understood exactly what that meant, that it had a sense of power and prestige where it made just much more sense to be fitted within their society. So you would think. Everybody know when Christ the King Sunday began? 1925, Pope Pius XI instituted Christ the King Sunday to help Christendom remember whose voice, whose rules, who laws you were supposed to follow. Europe was being overtaken with what we call, I guess, secularism, for lack of a better term. The fact that there were countries that were becoming communist, there were other countries that were being taken over by totalitarian regimes, where religion was no longer the thing that you were supposed to follow, where religion was supposed to be some pointless ancient thing that was cast aside, that they were the ones who were to be listened to. And so Pope Pius felt that if we instituted something like Christ the King, people would begin to return to a sense of understanding that it's not about human leadership, but it's about the leadership of Christ, the leadership of God, the rules and regulations we have that are laid out for us biblically to understand how our lives are supposed to be led. And so while it seems to be this ancient of things, it's really something that we have within our modern society in terms of its introduction. It's kind of funny, though, because there's this sense that we have that we don't need to bother with that sort of understanding within our country. We're a democracy. We're not a totalitarian regime. We're not a communist-led society. We're a democracy that has been shaped in part by the Word of God. And so why is it that we would need to have something like Christ the King Sunday to be able to help us remember this? That we are supposed to be listening to Christ alone. After all, aren't we as a country in lockstep with the teachings of Christ? Okay, maybe not. But you see, there are those people who believe that. There are those people who believe that this country is kind of by the work of God, God's chosen place. That everything we do, everything we say is in keeping with those great Christian guidelines. But the thing is, as soon as we begin to think that, we begin to move further and further away from our understanding of whose voice it is that we need to listen to. It wasn't by mistake that today's gospel lesson is chosen to represent Christ the King. Jesus says to Pilate that he is here. Well, here we go. I can't even quote the Bible anymore. So allow me to read it to you. You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into this world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. And the piece of the Bible that I do remember is the next verse. Because Pilate says, "What is truth?" Which is a fairly pertinent question. But when we talk about whose voice we're going to listen to, it becomes the fact that we do listen to the truth. We are called to listen to that voice of God. Because God isn't this philosophical understanding of truth. God is the embodiment of truth. And that truth comes to us as the Word of God. And so when we have to make those choices in life, when we hear what's going on in society and we look at what the Word of God tells us to do, we turn to that Word to understand truth. And truth becomes love. Because it is the truth of what God shares with the world through Christ that tells us that it is love that is that guiding principle, the loving of God and the loving of our neighbor as ourselves. And so when we begin to discern what truth might be, when we begin to discern whose voice it is we might listen to, it is through that prism that we must look. It is through the acknowledgement of that love that we must understand the choices and the decisions that we make, the endorsements that we give, the directions we choose to take. Because the truth of the matter is that voice of God calls us to be people who love, not people who separate, not people who judge, not people who live under certain biases, not people who look at individuals and say, if you're not like me, then you don't deserve what I have, but rather love. To love our neighbor as ourself, to love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our mind and all our soul. You see, we have to choose whose voice we listen to every day of our lives, whether it be the voice of the government, the voice of our neighbor, the voice of our friend, the voice of our spouse, or the voice of a stranger. For when we hear these voices, if these voices are not the voices we understand to be coming from God, then they are voices that we must stand against. They are voices we must speak against. They are voices that we must allow the world to know that it is that love and that love alone that will guide us, that love that will lead us, that love that will help us grow, that love that will help us be the people that God has called us to be, that love which will change this world in which we live, that love which will allow us to proclaim Christ as King and King alone. And it is that voice of that King that we listen to. Amen.